In 1 Peter 1, the Bible says, "As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." That is, in every aspect of how we live. We have to learn to think spiritually. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, as you think spiritually about the challenges of daily life.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliott, talking again today about the treasures and dangers of memory. Galatians 6:2 seems to have a contradiction with verse 5, Galatians 6:5. Let me read these two verses. Verse 2 says, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." And then in verse 5, we read, "Each one should carry his own load." Seems like a contradiction, doesn't it? Carry each other's burdens. Each one should carry his own load. Well, the word that's used in the first one, in verse 2, means heavy loads. And in verse 5, it means proper burdens. So when other people have heavy loads, we should help them carry them. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. But then we have to take the responsibility for ourselves as well, don't we? Each one should carry his own proper burden. The first, I think, is in the context of wrongdoing. This is what the first verse says. "Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." So in the context of helping a man back onto the right road very gently, we are commanded to help to carry that burden. But as for our proper burden, the things that we ought to keep to ourselves and carry faithfully, we need to examine our own conduct. How faithfully we have performed our own duties, what we have achieved or failed to achieve. And we have, each of us, our own proper burden. Someone pointed out to me not too long ago that every gift that God gives is also a burden. I can think of no greater gift, for example, than a child. But isn't a child a burden? Some of you are desperately searching for jobs. If God gives you that job, that gift becomes a burden, doesn't it? And each of us has his or her own proper burden. A friend of mine whose husband had walked out on her and really treated her terribly was in tears about a year later, telling me that she felt as though she was being abandoned by some of the people in the church, that people were not coming around as often as they used to help her. And so I brought out to her these two different verses. And I said, you know, you can't expect people to continue to carry your burden. They have their own. It's time for you to ask the Lord to show you what burden you might be able to carry for them. I have a wonderful letter from an ex-prisoner. He says, "I would just like to tell you how much I love you and your Gateway to Joy radio program. I first heard you on," and he gives the call letters, "when I was an inmate in the Florida prison system. I had been incarcerated for some time, and it just seemed like everyone and everything had abandoned me. Then one day I was flipping through the radio stations when I heard, 'You are loved with an everlasting love.' You were talking about how your first husband, Jim, had been killed, and then you went back to the Indians who had killed him. To make a long story and hard struggle short, I discovered peace of mind, love, and joy through the program. Then I discovered Chuck Swindoll, Woodrow Kroll, and all of the others, and I developed a hunger for God's word and a thirst for prayer and a desire to fellowship and share what, through a long process, the Lord has done and is doing for me. I'd just like to close by saying that I've been out of prison now since January of 94. My wife and I drive a bus route for our church. I teach a Sunday school class along with my wife. I've just started about 5 weeks ago a children's program on Wednesday nights at our church. The first week, only myself and 5 kids. Last Wednesday, myself and 30 kids and 4 helpers. And the Lord has opened the doors for my wife and me to become involved in a prison ministry so that I can go back to, quote, where I was killed, unquote. And he puts in parentheses an explanation of that phrase, I died to the world and awakened in Christ, and I share the love of Christ through song and witness with men such as I used to be. Your radio program gave me comfort where there was none and love in a loveless place. You helped to change my life. Thank God. To God be the glory for things like that that he does through this radio program. And I have no words to express my gratitude that God allows me to do it. But please remember, I need your prayers. There is such a thing as a sickly appetite for sympathy. An interviewer said to me, it's very important to share our sufferings, don't you think? We need to be willing to be vulnerable. Well, I've been asked that question before, and I've thought about it. And the truth is that we are vulnerable, all of us, willing or not. Does a true Christian's willingness to be vulnerable mean that he ought to talk about his wounds? Sometimes this may be helpful to others, as it was when the Apostle Paul told of that messenger of Satan, the thorn, or the sharp physical pain which he was given, because he learned a priceless lesson to pass on to the rest of us. The lesson is, grace is always supplied in the exact measure needed. God, in his tender mercy, often sends a comforter in human form, and for that we can be grateful. It does seem to me, however, that there's far too much gratuitous sharing of our miseries in today's world. A self-preoccupied world it is. Misery loves company. But company loves cheerfulness a whole lot more. Would it not usually be better to keep the miseries to ourselves and God instead of dragging others into the fog of our depression? Why cloud their day? The sun might shine through much sooner if we spoke only with God about it. He is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, the Bible says. Perfectly touched, perfectly understanding, perfectly able to lift us up. Nobody else is qualified in that way. We've all had the experiences of finding ourselves weary and heavy laden after hearing somebody's tale of woe. Frederick W. Faber writes of the littleness and the meanness of that sickly appetite for sympathy, which will not let us keep our sorrows to ourselves. Jesus Christ our Lord died for us, it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we share his life. So go on cheering and strengthening each other with thoughts like these. That's in the Bible. That's what it says. Go on cheering and strengthening each other with thoughts like these. The Apostle Paul was in prison, actually chained in prison, when he wrote these words in Philippians 4:10-20. Listen to the gratitude. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I'm looking for a gift, but I'm looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied. And now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Just think of a prisoner chained 24 hours a day between two guards, expressing such deep appreciation for the help that he had received, the assurance that all is well, and that those others who might be feeling very sorry for him could rest in the knowledge of his joy. May God preserve us from a sickly appetite for sympathy.
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.